Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is a Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. I want to thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform and myself and Eric the Tech. Thank you for hanging with me. I made an announcement yesterday at the beginning of the show. And again, the reason for the format change a little bit, changing things around a little bit, not having guests except for once a month, my regular guests, is simply because of my schedule. My schedule has been changed due to some health issues I'm having that require my attention away from my home and away from my city. So, in case you missed that yesterday, I just wanted to repeat that today, because I did get some emails asking where various people were, and I just want to let people know. So they'll be here once a month, and then I'll have other guests too that don't mind 3-4 o'clock in the morning pre-records at times when it's available. At any rate, a lot of news to get into, but first I want to mention this. I got some news just this morning, early this morning. A good friend of my daughter, who was actually in her wedding, mid-30s, Amanda, she, in fact, she lived with my wife and myself and my daughter for a couple of years, passed away from breast cancer. And the sad part about that is this. Again, mid-30s, passed away from breast cancer. She had gone to a physician. Her physician said, "Oh, that lump, don't worry about that lump. It's nothing." But by the time they actually accurately diagnosed the what was going on, she had stage 3 cancer, turned into stage 4 cancer. She succumbed to her cancer early this morning. And I feel horrible about that. But I feel horrible about the way the healthcare system had treated this young woman. And I suppose she could have been a little bit more proactive. However, that does not dismiss what actually happened. All right. So to my daughter, Jackie, to all of the friends of Amanda, to the family of Amanda, to her husband, our hearts go out to you. All right. A lot of news to get into, including, of course, the recent news. In case you missed it, Nord Stream 2, acts of sabotage. Nord Stream pipeline acts of sabotage. This is big news today, obviously, and it will become bigger news. This will have the ability, or have the consequence, I believe, to widen the number of deaths from freezing to death, from lack of energy, and collateral damage. Now, I'll get into this in a future program. In fact, I might even write a report on this. But the fact is, there was a clip of Joe Biden. Now, Nord Stream 2 is a project of the German government. President Trump spoke extensively about German independence and such, and German energy. So did Biden. As a matter of fact, and so did Hunter Biden, about energy in Ukraine. Oh, in Russia. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. Watch this clip from Joe Biden prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And listen to what he says here about Nord Stream 2. Listen to this.
Let me answer the first question first. If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again. Then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly, since the project? And control of the project is within Germany's control.
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
And it all of a sudden, I think three separate explosions as it stands right now were recorded, or seismic blips were recorded, explosion-like seismic blips around the areas near the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and obviously gas leaking from the pipeline, largest gas leak ever. The world is changing. You know, we look at this as if, I don't know, we're living in our own little bubble, and things that are taking place, we look at and say, okay, well, that, you know, hey, food production plants, they have fires all the time. Energy pipelines and hubs, they have explosions and refineries and such. They have fires all the time. We're failing to see patterns. Patterns by the globalists, in my view. Patterns by the globalists. Now, we know, at least I believe we know, you saw Biden there talking, but we know that Biden doesn't run anything. As a matter of fact, if we have that Biden clip of him talking about gas prices recently, if we can play that, you can see where Biden's not running anything. You've seen clip after clip after clip. I mean, how many pieces of evidence does one need to decide that, wait a second, this guy is not fit to hold any office? You see him wandering off stage. You see him shaking invisible hands. You see him, you know, in a number of different things, positions and situations. And you wonder, my gosh, who's running the show? Watch this clip.
And in 41 states, plus the District of Columbia, the average gasoline price is less than $2.99.
And in there's a lot to unpack there, right? 41 states in the District of Columbia. So, is somebody tell them there's 50 states along with the District of Columbia? And, of course, the various commonwealths, Puerto Rico. Wow. And then, Eric the Tech, we were talking earlier. You said gas prices shouldn't even be at that level. And you're right. I mean, we're only paying high prices. It's not even $2.99. Somebody tell them it's not $2.99. Where can I buy gas for $2.99? And people might say, well, when was that clip taken? It was taken very recently. He's wrong. Is he deliberately wrong, or is he just out in the ozone? I think the latter, obviously, because he doesn't even know how many states there are. He gets the District of Columbia correct. But we were talking earlier. You said gas shouldn't even be at $2.99. It wasn't at $2.99 when President Trump was in office. It shouldn't be there today. And you're right. And by the way, I want to thank you for accommodating, Eric the Tech, thank you for accommodating me for my schedule as well. I know it's been a rough 24, 48 hours for you and your family. So thank you very much. But anyway, there's Biden. So who's running things? We know that Biden is not running things. What I'm going to do, because I want to get into a couple of things. Joe Allen, his ARPA-H overview there, what's going on with the excess deaths, the excess mortality. There's always news about the injections and people who got the injections and how that is exacerbating latent illnesses. We need to talk about that. But the big news, I think, is this. There was an article written by Sarah Jackson. This appeared in Business Insider. I don't have a link to it. I just printed this out. And this was published 2 days ago. Or I'm sorry, 3 days ago. Bill Gates says political polarization may bring it all to an end and could even lead to a civil war. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at Bill Gates, and when I hear him talk, I just wonder how this non-programmer, non-coder, college dropout, guy in his garage, ended up being head of everything. Have you wondered that too? Well, the story is this. Bill Gates, and this again by Sarah Jackson, Business Insider, Bill Gates is sounding the alarm on political polarization here in the U.S. Political polarization may bring it all to an end, he says. And we're all going to, and we're going to have, or I'm sorry, let me, this is an important sentence, so let me get it right. Political polarization may bring it all to an end. We're going to have a hung election and a civil war, he told Forbes recently. Did you hear what I just said? This is Bill Gates, who accurately predicted the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, participated, funded the gain-of-function weaponization of the bioweapon. It was all over the injecticide, the planning of the pandemic, Event 201 and such. Accurate right down to the wire. Now he's saying, wait a second. He's saying this. Political polarization may bring it all to an end. We're going to have a hung election and a civil war. Now, as a journalist, I would probably dig a little bit deeper as to what he meant by a hung election. I get the civil war part, but the hung election, not so sure. Does that mean that's just going to be evenly split, evenly divided, closely divided? I can't resolve that in my head, can you? Gates, writes Sarah Jackson, has been the target, who has been the target of many conspiracy theories over the years. Really, conspiracy theories. You notice how they punch those things in, right? Also pointed out the dangers of misinformation. What misinformation might you be referring to, Mr. Gates? The misinformation about the efficacy of your jabs? For one, and I can go down the list, writes Jackson, Bill Gates usually focuses on issues like poverty and infectious diseases through his charitable foundation. But another problem on his mind is the polarization of U.S. politics. Well, who's polarizing anything? Remember Biden's Red Square. I'm going to call it Red Square speech on September 1st, right? The red backdrop, the blood red backdrop. Yeah, I know. Supposedly red, white, and blue. Okay, you got it. Yeah, I know. And thank you, Eric, thank you for bringing that up. And there it is right there on your screen. But who actually is polar, or who actually is the cause of misinformation? Who actually is polarizing this country? And he said this in a keynote conversation at this year's Forbes 400 Summit on Philanthropy. Of course, that's exactly where you'd say it. I have no expertise in that, he said. I'm not going to divert my money to that because I wouldn't know how to spend it. You know what? I don't think that's true. With all the hidden bunkers and the fortifications, I don't think that's true. And the people you hang with. But this political polarization, he says, goes hand in hand with another issue, the spread of misinformation. Let me just cut to the chase for you. They want us to shut up. Our information disclosures, accurate as they all are, or most are, you know, sometimes we get a few things wrong. But most of the time, it's right. I mean, look at InfoWars, Alex Jones. I mean, look at his track record. Everything that was a conspiracy theory 10 years ago now is coming true. So, look, they can't have this disclosure of information out there. They can't do it. But he says the polarization and lack of trust is a problem. And this is my personal favorite of this article. Because I read this book, the book being by RFK Jr. The book is about Fauci. One of the best-selling books last year was a book by Robert Kennedy. He states, saying that I like to make money and kill millions of people with vaccines. It's wild that sells well. That's Bill Gates. But RFK Jr. in his book backed it up by by Gates himself, by what he was saying, what he was doing. All, I mean, the footnotes in that book are extensive. I'm not going to go through any more of this. Just the call for a civil war and the call about the misinformation. People have to take note and sit up and pay attention. And again, most importantly, or equally important, is this hung election. What does he know? Because he was involved in a lot of the election, what would you call it? Crimes. I can't think of another word other than election crimes. He was involved in a lot of quite a few of the election crimes. In 2020. So what does he know about hung elections that we don't know? So let's look at the bigger picture. I saw this interview. I wanted to get to it before. This is going to be video 5. This is Diana West. And Diana West is a friend of mine, a friend of the program. She's been on the program numerous times with myself, with Peter Baryshaka, with others. I'm telling you something. She knows the infiltration of communism. She understands the Great Reset. She understands, from a historical perspective, the communization of our government, the infiltration of communists into our government, what's taking place. And she makes some excellent points, especially at the beginning of this 25-minute interview, which you can listen to the entire and watch the entire interview with the Rear Foundation. But I wanted to play at least a few minutes of this with Diana West. I wanted you to hear what she's got to say, because everything that we're seeing today and everything I mentioned, none of this happens in a vacuum. Like I said earlier, people may be walking around in their own little spheres, but nothing happens in a vacuum. If we can, let's go ahead and introduce and play video 5, Diana West. We don't know who is in charge of this country, but it's certainly not Biden. Go ahead.
Vlad for RareFoundation.com, and we have the rare opportunity and privilege of speaking with Diana West about a subject which has been discussed, but frankly not discussed enough, and that would be the curious speech given by Joe Biden in front of the Red Wall and with the two Marines in the background. Yeah. There was just something surreal about it, and I don't know, I just feel like that needs a deeper look. Diana, thanks again for joining us today. And can you tell us what your impressions of this curious speech was?
Sure. And it's great to be with you. And I haven't done this myself, so I'm glad this is going to be all fresh. Been thinking about it and gnashing my teeth over it, of course. But there were a lot of things going on with that speech. And I think one of them, which goes to my own research background, has to do with the way politics were before Donald Trump in 2016, the advent of Donald Trump. And the political landscape in America was essentially what Biden described in that speech, in the sense that what he's terming MAGA Republicans, which are the people who are energized by Donald Trump in 2016, and that agenda of nation building, of borders, of U.S. manufacturing, America first policymaking, and et cetera. That vector, that line of political belief, that group of people who actually were energized by that political belief system, it was invisible. It didn't exist. It had been stamped out of American politics, hence the rise of what we often talk about as the Uniparty. And so we can look at the rhetoric of this speech, which was disgraceful. You know, we can say all the things that's true about this speech that many have said, and justly so. But I think what you're really looking at is, again, this endless assault on this part of America that the Uniparty, and by that, of course, I mean the establishment of Democrats and Republicans across this shortened spectrum, their goal to destroy that America. And that America was energized in 2016 and is still a force to be reckoned with. That is really sort of the basis of that line of rhetoric, in my opinion. But I think when you look at the speech, because it did capture everyone's attention, probably because of that red backdrop, because who really cares what Biden says? I mean, this is such a travesty having this person occupying the White House. And I mean, quite literally occupying the White House, because this is not a legitimate president. This is not a legitimate presidency. So when you take that step back, you are also looking at an effort to demonize the lawful president and his followers. So there's that layer to unpeel. Using the military in such a, I mean, people would call it, using the phrase lightly, a partisan effort. That, you know, political speeches are not supposed to be dignified by the presence of the United States military, because it is a threat to the opposition. But you know, this is another piece of it that people have looked at. But it's a very sinister speech. It is a dangerous speech because, again, it's demonizing a sector of the lawful citizens of the United States. And it is, I don't know how the world looked at it, but it seemed like there was a lot of messaging going on to the rest of the world. So those are sort of my first reactions to the speech. And I'd be interested in what you think of it as well.
Okay. No, well, I pause that right there. And let's move on to another video, because all of these go hand in hand. What we're seeing take place. Diana West is one of the most one of the brightest people I know. And she really has her hands and she's really into the polarization that Bill Gates talked about. Okay. And she's pointing at the very people who are polarizing this country, including Bill Gates, but people that have no business polarizing this country. I'm going to take you to Kerry Lake. Wait a minute. Let's see here. I'm sorry. I'm going to take you to video 3, Eric the Tech, on my planning paper here, my show prep paper. I apologize, folks. A little bit discombobulated here, but video 3. MAGA Republicans plan to essentially destroy the United States of America. Now, this is by Keisha Bottoms. She's the mayor of Atlanta. But she holds a position in the White House that's a pretty high up, pretty elevated position. It has the ear of whoever is running things there I don't even want to call it an administration, in this junta. Whatever it might be. But listen to what Keisha Bottoms, again, high up in the food chain of our government, at the executive level, talking about you and I. This is about 2 minutes, just over two minutes. Watch this. Up the circle of death. Circle of death. We're going to reload that. But again, understand what Diana West said. Okay. Look at both internally and externally the messaging that's being sent by Biden to his base. You know, the left accuses Donald Trump of radicalizing his base. That's exactly what the left is doing. Through people like Keisha Bottoms. I'll never get over that name. Here she is.
This election is a very important election, not just for Democrats, but also for Republicans, also for independents, and anyone who cares about the United States of America. There is a MAGA Republican agenda. that gives no consideration to the rule of law, that has no respect for a woman's right to choose, that wants to defund the FBI. There is a MAGA Republican agenda that thought that it was okay to attack our nation's capital on January 6th. I think people will think of all of these things when they go to the ballot box, no matter what their party affiliation is. And I think that they will vote accordingly.
You know, I've noticed, and I think a lot of people have noticed, a certain phrase that you have been using since the very first answer, and that's MAGA Republicans or MAGA Republican agenda. It is a tough line being taken by the president and by you here right now against Republicans writ large. My question is, will the president and will folks in the administration between now and the November 8th elections keep hammering away at that phrase, at that imagery?
Well, I think it will be important for all of us who care about the United States of America to call out what we see. And what we see, again, with this MAGA Republican agenda is an effort to disrupt our democracy. So whether it be through November and beyond November, I think it will always be important to call out any effort there is to essentially destroy the United States of America. President Biden has been very clear. He wants to work in a bipartisan effort. He has worked in a bipartisan effort. He's been able to get things done on behalf of our country. But when you have a MAGA Republican agenda that has no respect for the Constitution, that has no respect for free and fair elections, then it is important for all of us, not just the president, not just me, for all of us to call it out for what it is. It is a danger to our democracy. It is a danger to our way of life.
Somebody needs to tell Keisha that we don't live in a democracy, but I guess that's secondary to the message. And of course, that's the demonization of, she calls them MAGA Republicans. I would call them American exceptionalist, America first, our country first, the people of our country, the citizens of our country, that's who she's referencing, the Christian conservatives, the people who believe in capitalism, the people who believe in everything that's right. That's who she's declaring as the enemy. That's who Biden or Biden's handlers are sending out as a puppet to talk to the news stations. This is what's filling the executive branch. This is what's filling the permanent bureaucracy in D.C. in the absence and in the void of President Trump. This is Kerry Lake. Now, Kerry Lake is a candidate for governor in Arizona, and she's been making a lot of waves, a lot of headlines, by her very positive and assertive position. I like this woman. I believe that she understands what's going on fully, or at least, fully. I would give her that. I want you to take a listen to what she says about really what makes her concerned. Now, she uses the word scared. This is what scares me. But I think you'll get the idea, because I think she nails it pretty well with this sound bite. Let's go to video one. This is Kerry Lake, who happened to appear on Tucker. This is a very brief segment.
But it's just so interesting that this is a change. If you're elected in Arizona, it will be a change. Donald Trump was a change. The people who are rejected by voters in this representative democracy that we have never for one second learn anything from that rejection. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I can't get into their minds. But I mean, I think of the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world, the Congressman Paul Gosars, the Donald Trumps of the world, what's happening in Italy, myself, the people who are truly understanding what's happening in this country, which is we're losing this country, are the ones who are being attacked. And I'm on the campaign trail. We're working 6 to 10 events a day. We're working really hard. And I had somebody reach out to me the other day and say, Kerry, you are fearless. You are so fearless. What? You're not afraid of anything. And I stopped him and I said, actually, I have great fear. I'm not afraid of the fake news. I'm not afraid of the globalists. I'm not afraid of anything that I'm facing on the campaign trail. I'm not afraid of the cartels. What I am scared to death of is what happens if we don't step in right at this moment and do something. I'm afraid right. of the world that our children will live in. That's what.
That says a lot in a very short period of time there. I'm afraid of the world that our children will be living in if we don't do something. Now, there was an article. Let me just stray a bit. No, not really stray. But there was an article in not the bee.com. By Joel Abbott, and this appeared early today. The title of this: if you're staying silent because you don't want to be vilified or suspended for opposing this, then you're a coward. And what this refers to is a tweet, a posting on Twitter. Of this. At 14, doctors cut off her breasts and put her on testosterone. Now she's 17, can't accept what's been done to her, is too sad to even go to school, and sees no reason to live. Now think about that. I often think of the statement, I think it originated with Andrew Breitbart, culture is downstream from politics, and politics in this case being communism, and the culture of communism is perversity, is taking away all of the good in favor of all of the satanic, all of the demonic, all of the bad. And you say, well, that's an overstatement. I think you're overgeneralizing. Oh, really? In this case, you have doctors, medical doctors who cut the breasts off a 14-year-old girl, and 3 years later she's saying, what did I do? Equally important, I suppose, would be, why did they allow me to do this? Why did my parents allow me to do this? And what kind of parents would allow a 14-year-old girl or a 14-year-old boy to change their sex? And what kind of doctor would go along with it? What kind of doctor would go along? Nurses go along with this? Work in a place like that? Probably the same kind that withheld hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin from you. Probably the same kind of doctors who are pushing the big pharma injecticides, the Pfizer, the BioNTech, the AstraZeneca, killer shots. That's those kind of doctors, because they know better. You know, the science. Well, I'm here to tell you, God doesn't make any mistakes. And here, a 14-year-old girl, 3 years after this butchery, legalized supposedly butchery, is having second thoughts. And of course, Twitter, they're censoring the hell out of this. Facebook, you can't even barely post this. But Twitter put up this sensitive content warning because it contains screenshots from Reddit where a girl who had been mutilated, and mutilated indeed, to look like a man, wrote about how she has nothing to live for after this change. She's a freak of nature. And you can read about this, not to be. But this is what's taking place. You see, they're normalizing, obviously, this perversity. And if we can go to the video that I left in the Dropbox, I really fought because I wasn't going to play this. But I referenced what happened in Katy, Texas yesterday, I believe. Just referenced that. America's mom was there. I think you'll remember me speaking about this. This happened at a so-called Christian My Butt church. But America's Mom, Sharona Bishop, who's got a Facebook page or a page on Facebook, I don't know how that's still up. Maybe it's not. But exposing inside a Christian church in Katy, Texas, what was going on. The fact that they had drag queens and they had transsexuals and transvestites. In fact, somebody had snuck a camera into, this could be another church, another location, but somebody snuck a camera into this back room closet type area where young children could take things like stuff to keep your breasts down if you're a girl and other parts down if you're a young man, you know, to make it appear you're the opposite sex that you are. Clothing and, of course, all of the accessories to go along with this perversity. But in this video, this is a particularly heinous video. This occurred in Tennessee. This occurred at a brewery in Tennessee. The one I spoke about yesterday occurred in a so-called Christian church where Sharona Bishop came out and said, hey, you know what? And supporters came out and said, this is wrong. And of course, the police, I mean, she was standing there along with her supporters, the people who were against this, what was taking place in this church, speaking out against what was taking place against in this church, what was going on. She was confronted by both police and Antifa. Who'd have thought they're on this basically the same side? Now we have Tennessee and Chattanooga at this brewery in Chattanooga where parents bring in children who actually engage in, you know, tipping the drag, the perverse people, putting dollar bills and money, giving them money, children, you get, you. Watch this video. Somebody dressed up in drag now bowing down to kids, young children. I don't know, very young, 4 or 5. You have no clue what's going on, I'm sure, in this case. But what about the parents? Oh, there's a smiling mom and an infant. She's holding and dancing with some moron in a green headdress. And there's a video right there of a young girl, somebody's daughter, somebody's granddaughter, handing a dollar bill to somebody in drag. If you don't see anything wrong with that, you're an idiot. If you don't see anything wrong with that, there's something wrong with you. If that was my... First of all, it wouldn't be any of my children. And if it were my grandchildren, the first person I would have to address would be their parents, followed by the people who are putting this on and who are backing this. But here's the sad part about this culture rot that we're seeing. The police, in that video, and I'm not going to replay it. If you want to replay it, if you want to go backwards in the back left part of the first part of the video, you had a child stroking the genitals of an adult. That's grooming behavior. That's pedophilia. That's against the law. And every single adult in that place should be arrested and charged at the very least. Or let me handle it. Let Eric and I handle it. Well, I can't speak for Eric because, you know, I can, but I'm not going to for legal reasons. There it is on your screen again in the top part of the picture there. And in the subset or in the small box there, anyone else see the problem with this? And I hope you do. Now, why do I bring this up when there's so much more to get into? The reason being, the left is, at least in my view, and I say that for legal reasons, they're a bunch of perverse, soulless, or if they do have a, no, they've sold their souls, but they're a bunch of perverse, sodomite, sick bastards. Every person in that place, except those who were unable to consent, that being the children, are exactly that. The feckless police, who apparently think that's okay. I've got a problem with you too. But this is the left laughing in our faces. But even more importantly than that, that's to get us ready for something else. And you think, well, that's just gross and that's perverse and that's just, eh. Okay. Started off the show talking about Bill Gates, political polarization. How many Christian conservatives out there would tolerate that? True Christian conservatives. That's right. None. Zero. You see this sign I'm making? That's an okay sign, or really zero. Yet they're pushing this and pushing this and pushing this. Where do you think this is going to end? If the police back away like they're doing, and where do you think this is going to end? Can you envision? Oh, I don't know. Remember Death Wish? New York City? The fictional movie with Charles Bronson? 1, 2, 3, 4, and I don't know however many, a whole bunch of them that came out. But you remember when people said it's enough and the police didn't do anything? It was just horrible. So Charles Bronson has family brutalized. In the first one, his wife was killed and his daughter was institutionalized after being gang raped. In the second one, his daughter was killed. Again, it's a fictional movie. But in each instance, he went out and he took care of business. Is this what they're asking for? Because I have a feeling this is what they're going to get. And frankly, I'm okay with that. I understand it. It may not be right. I understand it, though. Because who do you call when you can't call anyone to come to your assistance? Just asking. But there's something bigger than that. There's something much bigger at play here. And this is the big part of it. Human life to them is meaningless. You saw, I spoke about the report Friday, I think it was, maybe yesterday. I don't know. Gavin Newsom, California. Hey, put grandpa in the apple patch there, or with the potatoes or the tomatoes. That's gaining traction this week. I've seen on different media sites where human composting is allowed. That's the way they treat life. But how else? Especially the elite, the globalists, the people like Schwab and Harari and all of these other mopes out there, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about immortality as well as immorality, I was going to say, but immortality. Because they certainly don't want to endure judgment of a just and righteous God of the Christian Bible, do they? So they want to live forever. If we could play video two. This is an important video. This is, I've been holding on to this for a while. This is Joe Allen, Biden's new ARPA H risk threat of creating new dangerous pathogens and wishes to create biosurveillance system. There's two parts to this. The bio part, two overlapping parts, the bio part, as well as the biosurveillance system part, both necessary for complete subjugation of the human race. Watch this. It's a little over 4 minutes. Please watch all of this and understand where this is headed in the larger sense. Here it is.
Here is really, we're ushering in the century of engineered biology, whether it's through gene editing or it's through engineering of living medicines that will be in our gut. Or in soil to promote, you know, fertilization and growth, especially as we face challenges like climate change. And so if we are ushering in that century of engineered biology, these frameworks are going to quickly become obsolete if we also aren't creating the definitions and the governance around these emergent capabilities and their potential for dual use. I think it's easy to think about an experiment that could be a gain of function, for example, and say it's going to be really hard to recreate that without actually doing that experiment. But I would challenge that statement. I would argue that where we're going now in industry with foundry, high throughput, automated.
Okay. Wow. That was really 30 seconds to go. Thanks. We're going to have a meeting after the show to go through our production today. Let me bring in Joe Allen. Joe, who was I just hearing from right then on this video? This is quite disturbing, sir.
Of course, that is Renee Wegrizen, the inaugural director of ARPA-H. Huge thank you to Brian O'Shea for getting that to us. This was a meeting 2 days ago with the National Science Advisory Board for biosecurity. Two things you need to know about what you just heard. One, when she's talking about dual use, she's talking about weaponized pathogens. That's code for weaponized pathogens. Two, she's talking about this century of engineering biology, and she's talking about the inherent dangers in it. What she's also saying is that the industry that she comes out of and the government programs that she comes out of, that includes DARPA and Ginkgo Biowork, are hard at work on that century of engineering biology. So much like we see regulatory capture in agriculture or big pharma or even big oil, what we're hearing here is a woman who will be leading the government response to the dangers of the industry in which she works.
Here's the thing people got to understand. I want everybody to understand. This is the woman that heads up this new organization, the new DARPA, which is ARPA-H for biology and technology. That's going to be the driving force of transhumanism. You notice the White House hasn't come back and said anything against, you know, they're, oh, Bannon said they're all going to be these, you know, live forever immortals. But they have not come back in question. She's the head person. She's the one that's one of the biggest advocates for programming biology, for taking the, they say the cell is just like a silicon chip and can be programmed. Joe Allen.
Absolutely. And when she's talking about these foundries, what these foundries are factories for microbe engineering. And so you're talking about being able to take genetic sequences, convert them into proteins, and analyze their function by the thousands per day. And so what that means is that much like with artificial intelligence being used to predict mutation effects, it allows for genetic engineers to rapidly produce all of these different biological components. Of course, they're working on medicines or microbes to put in the soil to stop pollution and climate change. But you're also talking about creating all of these possibilities for dangerous pathogens, And she goes on to talk about creating massive biosurveillance systems to detect any of these rogue pathogens, including intentionally created or intentionally engineered pathogens, which, due to the inexpensive nature of genetic engineering right now, is a huge threat. We're moving into a very dark time insofar as this goes. And also, it's much like the nuclear threat in many ways.
Hey, the booster is at 1.2%, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, to pick up. Part of that was the war room, isn't it? Not all of it, but part of it was the war room. And you don't think we're going to be all over this thing? You're kidding yourself. Joe, real quickly, how do people get to you, particularly over the weekend before Monday, on all this?
You can find stuff on this and also my new article, Synthetic Salvation on Genomics, Mind Uploads, and the Quest for Immortality. You can find it at JoeBotxyz at Twitter and Gitter, and also on warroom.org under the transhumanism tab, and my site, jobot.xyz.
I let that play out because I do think it's important to follow Joe Allen in his investigation. I think he's doing a very, very good job, as is Steve Quayle, of course, that we talk about. This is the ultimate objective. And of course, those people who don't submit to the injecticides, whatever they might be, with whatever is coming. I would urge you to go to HagmanReport.com, open up today's program description box, and click on the links, especially the Diana West link, as especially that one, and watch the entirety of her interview, because she gets really deep into the infiltration in our government, the fact that Biden is not running anything, the fact that you've got a bunch of secular, humanist, godless, or actually Satan-worshipping people running things, and this is their bigger objective. And of course, the kind of like the waypoint in that quest for this transhumanistic agenda is the perversion of boys and girls, men and women, and the normalization of pedophile behavior. That's what they want. That's this anti-Christ, anti-God agenda. That's the bigger picture here. You notice that this is on a global scale. When I said about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline blowing up, okay, what does that have to do with, this transgender stuff or the AI things? Because this is a global movement by these godless, or again, Satan-worshipping globalists to change the world. That's the big picture, and people aren't seeing it. You are. You're seeing it, but many people aren't. Meanwhile, and I'm going to close with this. You've got people out there who, when confronted with facts, take away the bots on Twitter, take away everyone that you don't, that you're not actually face to face and talking to, face to face with and talking to. How many people, when confronted with the fact of vaccine, and I use that again, that's their word, vaccine injury and adverse effects, say, no, that's all BS. What about excess mortality? No, that's all BS. How many people do you know are accepting of this new sudden adult death syndrome? That's all part of this. They're going to kill us in war. They're going to kill us with pathogens and bioweapons. They're killing us with the shots, the injections. We are making headway in certain areas. They're polluting our schools with pornography. All of this is part of a larger global agenda by the likes of, again, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, the billionaires who want to live and think they can live forever and circumvent judgment. And I would say this, the people who endorse this behavior, the people who are actually giving space, giving quarter to this behavior or sponsoring this behavior, whether it be what you saw in the Tennessee brewery or in Katy, Texas, in this so-called Christian church. They are absolutely, they're criminals. They're perverse, godless criminals. But the apathetic masses who don't care enough to speak up against this for fear of being banned or for whatever stupid reason against these monstrosities, I would say somehow are even worse. At least you know where they're coming from a position of perversity. Those people who keep their mouths shut and go about their business, what's wrong with you? Are you okay with this? And for those who do care, but still, they're too afraid to say something, you're cowards. All of you, you're cowards. I'm going to end with this. Europe suffers horrifying 755% increase in excess deaths among children since the emergency agreement approved COVID vaccine for kids. This is in Europe. Let's put page one up on the screen, if you don't mind. If we can, this is page number one. This is from last week too, but this tells a specific story. Europe suffers a horrifying 755% increase in excess deaths among children since EMA approved COVID vaccine for kids. And I'm not going to read this. The link will be in the program description box. But what gets me is against children. Okay, the deaths of children, or among children, not against children, among children, but it's against them too. Think about this. Why is no one, or why are very few, speaking up about this? Now, Steve Bannon mentioned the booster rates down to like 1.2%. People are beginning to wake up and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this. So that leaves me thinking, okay, we need something like a nuclear war, a nuclear exchange. Hey, what about the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage that I talked about earlier, where the Swedish broadcast system reported the seismic network detected two underwater explosions. One of them had a magnitude of 2.3, was registered and also registered in as many as 30 measuring stations in southern Sweden. So maybe nuclear war will depopulate the planet. Maybe a new bioweapon will depopulate the planet, thereby changing that 1.2% to a higher number so we can get more people. But it's coming unless we say something, unless we do something. And what about Bill Gates? Just to recap this, start off with Bill Gates. What about Bill Gates? What about his prediction or his statement saying that we're going to have a hung election and a civil war? Now remember, he accurately predicted what? The plandemic. He accurately predicted the effectiveness of the depopulation factor of the so-called vaccinations. Now he's predicting a civil war and a hung election, whatever that is. I don't think he can have a tied election, but I think he could have one that's illegitimate. So watch for this, because many people are saying, hey, you know what? Come this November, we're going to just sweep it up and really take over. I ask, is that plan B? Because I'm not so sure that's plan A. I'm not so sure they're going to allow for plan A if they know that they're going to get their behinds whooped in this. So my question to you is, what comes next? Let me know your thoughts in the description box at Rumble or Bridie on HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Folks, I want to thank you so much for your patience, your trust. I want to thank Eric Tech for his flexibility. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.